as the Lord may help me, I venture this afternoon to direct you to the first epistle, General of Peter, chapter 1, a reading, verse 7. The first epistle, General of Peter, chapter 1, reading verse 7. But I will read verses 5 to 7. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness, through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That the trial of your faith. This morning we had that word of the prophet, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. That the trial of your faith. Every child of God has a particular trial. It may be termed as a thorn in the flesh. Well, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Now, of course, this is Peter's epistle, and he writes from experience. We know a little of what we read of the trial of Peter's faith, especially of that which concerned that word that the Lord Jesus spoke to him, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I pray for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So, as far as we can see, according to the word of God, the great trial of Peter's faith was that which the Lord spoke to him concerning. Hence he was well versed to write this first epistle to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, and Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Well, friends, you have a trial of faith. But you know it is not, the Lord knows what that trial is. And is there not a purpose in it? Oh, how these who Peter wrote to were to be refined in that fire of in that furnace. Now, dear friends, it speaks, doesn't it, of gold that perisheth. We know that gold is very precious. The most precious of the elements, gold is. And yet we read in the psalm that the fear of the Lord is to be desired more than fine gold. Friends, gold is a very expensive, a wonderful asset. But my friend, you know, even gold itself tarnishes. And friend, you know, there is that precious gold that will never tarnish. That gold that we have here, which is tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. But first of all, my thought is, dear friends, there's much to be burnt up. It must be burnt up. And it is in the trial of faith that the Lord burnt up these things. Oh, the dross of human nature. What about self-righteousness, Pharisaic zeal? My friends, they need to be burnt up. So there's nothing left, only that which is, that which will remain, that which will withstand. Oh, to have something that will stand, something will endure. For we read this, he that endureth unto the end shall be saved. Oh, for this enduring fire, this which is precious, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth. See, when we think of this word precious, do we not think of that which is precious, even Jesus Christ himself? Unto you, therefore, which believe he is precious, says Peter. So Peter must know the trial of faith and sanctified to him. And so he writes here to these strangers scattered throughout all these regions. They are the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. My thought here is, friends, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That which is more precious than of gold that perisheth is that precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. To them he is more precious far. Ah, friends, we have that hymn, don't we? The preciousness of Jesus Christ. That the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. And, of course, in our reading, oh, how sometimes we feel so much the Lord to direct us in reading. Or in that wonderful account of Luke, friends, there we have the wonderful truth set forth. We notice sometimes that in the four Gospels, they are different accounts, but they all relate to the Lord Jesus Christ. And each of the Gospels relate to the sufferings and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And friends, is not that precious? Oh, the formality of a season such as Easter that we come to. But what is so precious about the season, friends, if we're born again of the Spirit? Well, it is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that concerned him while he was here below, his sufferings, his death, and his resurrection. Oh, the preciousness of this. But you see, there's to be the trial of faith to wean us from this world and to bring us closer to him and to renew that. We had in our text this morning, I think, that word renewing. Renewing your strength. You need something to be renewed. It's not just a matter, friends, of coming to the house of God, although that is good. It's not just a matter of reading the Word of God and so on. What we want is to be a renew. You think, and I don't want to be personal, you think the very late dear pastor was here over 50 years. What was the secret of it? Well, you see, it was this gold, you say. All the wonders of his grace, the upholding grace of God. Well, friend, what a mercy that you have even a trial of faith, because it is more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Hence our reading in Luke's account of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think in our reading we read, then arose Peter, and he went to the sepulchre. And I think we read in another, perhaps, gospel it is, the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. But he, stooping down, I think it was Peter, and looking in, you see, saw not the body of the Lord Jesus. No. Christ was risen. But he had not yet appeared to them. And that is the trial of faith. But one thing is certain, dear friends, he will appear, and here shall be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So there may be those here who pass through the trial of faith, and the Lord has not yet appeared. But he will appear. He will appear. He appeared to the disciples. First, I think, was it to Mary Magdalene? And then the other disciples. The Lord appeared to them. This truth to rejoice in. The Lord will appear. It's to them that look for him. It's to them that look for him. And when he rose up, when he ascended to heaven, they saw him go up into heaven. They looked steadfastly into heaven. There was that word, this same Jesus, whom ye have seen go up into heaven, will so come in like manner. Oh, they were looking up into heaven. And friends, you know, that is the secret. To those who know the trial of faith, then look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Though it be tried with fire. In another gospel, I think we read this, go and tell the disciples and Peter that Christ is risen. Oh, friends, you know, what a wonderful thing it is. But those who know the trial of faith will also know that Christ is risen. Then we have, do we not, in that account that we read, the two on the Emmaus Road. That Jesus himself drew near and went with them. You see, if you know the trial of faith, whatever it is, though you cannot see him yet, as with those disciples, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, they could not see him. And so, you see, until the Lord is discovered to you by his Spirit, your eyes will be holden. You will not see him. But oh, how he drew out from them the path, what they were in. And in the trial of faith, so the Lord will draw out of your soul to him those needs that you feel. Because Jesus has a drawing power by his Spirit. Jesus draws the chosen race by his sweet, resistless grace. But the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What faith is needed, dear friends, to believe that the Lord will appear? And can you give it up? If it is a work of grace, you cannot give it up. Lord, I will not let thee go till a blessing thou bestow. Do not turn away thy face. Mine's an urgent, pressing case. There are times when you have an urgent, pressing case. How profitable this is, isn't it? But it has to be tried with fire. 'Tis if needs be, he reproves us, lest we settle on our leaves, yet he in the furnace loves us. 'Tis expressed in words like these: I am with thee, Israel, passing through the fire. I always remember the late Stanley Ashby. Some of you remember Stanley Ashby. We had the flu, I think, on one occasion, and I just must have asked him how he was, and he said this: if today he deigns to bless us with a sense of pardoned sin, perhaps tomorrow he'll distress us, make us feel the plague within, all to make us sick of self and fond of him. 'Tis if needs be. He reproves us, lest we settle on our lees, yet he in the furnace loves us, till expressed in words like these: I am with thee, Israel, passing through the fire. You see, we must pass through the fire. And how much I say is to be burned up. And one thing to be burned up is our worldliness and our carnality. And their prayerlessness, or their prayerlessness. You see, the Lord will have his people alive. He will not let them settle on their leaves. No. Let the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes. Think of it. Gold, that precious element, more precious than the currencies in the bank today, is gold. Yet here we have something that is more precious. And it is concerning the trial of faith, and it is to be tried with fire. There are several portions that we could have read. I had thought perhaps earlier on that we might have read from the book of Malachi, the third chapter. I might just turn to the third chapter to find what we, in that word, what we felt to read concerning. And it was this, and but who am I? Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, like full of silver, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. Now he shall purify the sons of Levi. The Levites were very much for the service of God. Now we find at the end of this chapter, and I just want to mention this, and we may have hinted at it this morning, then they that feared the Lord spake on from one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. But what is the connection? What is the connection between the trial of faith and that of the purifying of the sons of Levi? It is that they should speak often one to another. Of the things of God, that is. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. You see the connection? You need to trace these out, friends, in our own little experience. The trial of faith, by fire, refining, and purifying for God's service, and then also for the uttering and speaking of the things of God. We live in a very sad day, friends, concerning the things of God. People do not seem to speak, and I'm guilty myself. We do not speak of what the Lord has done. When we leave the house of God, you never hear anything of what the Lord has done. Oh, how guilty we feel about that. The Lord will purge his floor, friends. For we read, and it comes to my mind in the last few words of the 22nd, they shall come. A seed shall serve him. They shall come. Well, what is the Lord's purpose? We need to be exercised, beloved friends, concerning what the Lord's purpose is for each one of us, for time and for eternity. Is there a gracious exercise? Is there an exercise? Is there a desire to bring forth fruit unto God? I thought as I read that word this afternoon in the latter part of the 24th chapter of Luke, and behold, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And I don't want to speak of myself, but I know it myself, as I used to sit over in almost at the back seat there and hear the dear pastor preach, and so on, others too, that there was an exercise. I hope there was an exercise to bring forth fruit. But for my friends, you know, we cannot do it of ourselves. Oh, we need the Holy Spirit to come. First of all, dear friend, I know these are scattered remarks, but the Lord can bless the scattered remarks. But you know, first of all, there is this thought. Jesus said, you must be born again. Are we born again of the Spirit? The new birth? Is there life in our soul? But is there liveliness in our soul? Yes, there may be life in our soul, and bless God for that, but is there liveliness of soul? The Lord will have his people to be serving him. Now this word comes to my mind, I don't know why. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. That was Paul's word to Timothy, and I remember that coming to me, most forcibly. I may go back, and I don't want to speak of myself, I may go back, and it was that with me, neglect not the gift that is in me. And you know, friends, I'm being quite open with you this afternoon. It was a few days, and our pastor came and spoke to me, and asked me to go to that little cause at Linfield. I know it was to read the Word of God. I believe the Lord so gave that word to me, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Indeed, there was something that opened up. These things will be disclosed in that great day, dear friends. But oh, you see, there's a trial of your faith. What has the Lord done for you? What's in your heart, sinner? The Lord knows what is in your heart. You would serve him, wouldn't you? You would follow him, wouldn't you? There's a trial of your faith. I suppose one of the great trials to many of the Lord's dear people is to come forward. A trial to a man to have to speak in public prayer. A trial as to whether they have a good enough testimony. Whether the people, whether they will be received. A trial as to whether they are fit for this great matter. It's a good thing if it is a trial. But how many here in this company are tried in this point? The Lord knows. But it is more precious than the gold that perishes, because it concerns his honour and glory and his praise. We need to notice that, dear friends. It is for the honour and glory of God. Not for self. Not that you want to be somebody. If you're taught of God, you want to be nobody. But my friends, it is for praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So these strangers, scattered in these vast regions, were evidently passing through some heavy trials. And he says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, if need be. Let the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire. Oh, then, this trial of faith that Peter knew. Though, of course, it is wonderful to see and realize and read that the dear Saviour prayed for him. And also this, that the dear Saviour knew what was before him. You see, the Lord knew. Brings us back to our reading this morning. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? That the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? There is no searching of his understanding. You see, the Lord knows. But why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord? Unbelief. But oh, the Lord had given dear Peter a sweet promise. And it applied not only to Peter, but all his chosen people. Satan had desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. but I have prayed for thee. And that's your strength. And that's your salvation. And that will be to the honour and glory of his holiness, that I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Oh, how often our faith would fail, wouldn't it, were it not to be found in him. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, when thou art changed, strengthen thy brethren. I've often thought of dear Peter that he was the first gospel preacher to preach after the ascension of Christ. And hence, surely, it must be thought that Satan would desire to have him. Now, Peter was to be the first preacher of the gospel after the ascension of Jesus Christ. And what success he had, didn't he? Yes, in that first sermon, that is related to us in the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, there were 3,000 souls. That were baptized, the early church. Now we need, dear friends, we do need, don't we, the Lord to appear. We need another Pentecost. What I was going to mention to you was a hymn that is very precious. When we think of that word, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, strengthen thy brethren. I just want to quote a part of the 29th hymn. Teach us for what to pray and how, and since, kind God, 'tis only thou the throne of grace canst move, pray thou for us, that we through faith may feel the effects of Jesus' death, through faith that works by love. And the Lord Jesus, before he ascended to heaven, indeed before he came into his greatest sufferings, he prayed for his church, as we read in the 17th chapter of John. He said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them whom thou hast given me, that they may be thine. And you know, when you read right through that beautiful prayer, friends, he prayed his people into glory. He prayed his people into glory. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold thy glory, which thou hast given me. He prayed for them into glory. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We touched upon this morning, did we not, friends, the 66th Psalm. Go home and read the 66th Psalm. Oh, bless our God, ye people. Oh, bless our God, ye people. And then through that psalm, we read of the psalmist testifying. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. They brought us through fire and water, but they brought us out into a wealthy place. I will go into thy house, I will pay my vows that I have uttered, when I was in trouble. And that beautiful word, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. Oh, bless the Lord, ye people. Yes. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. You see, dear friends, his name is to be glorified. Another thought comes to my mind. I know it's rambling, really, but another thought comes to my mind of that word. Was it Paul, Saul of Tarsus, and then Paul? That word, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now, there are those exercised here, friends, in that. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I remember our pastor saying to me, and I'm being open with you this afternoon, you know, at his 25th anniversary, I believe it was a time of great blessing with him. And I spoke to him, and I don't know what I said. I must have said something to him. I felt I was thankful for him, but he said, well, you know, he said, there is a little corner for you to fill. My friends, there is a little corner for you to fill. And there's another word that comes to my mind of the Lord Jesus. Why stand ye all the day idle in the marketplace? I don't know why we say these things, but the Lord knows if you're in the trial of faith. But it's something that's very precious, friends. It's more precious than of gold that perisheth, and though it be tried with fire, but it is to be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Don't hear much of praise, do we? What I mean is real praise. You see, prayer and praise are joined together. You cannot separate prayer and praise. They're joined together. And that is set forth in the 65th Psalm. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. And unto thee shall the vow be performed. So have you made a vow? Defer not to pay it. Hannah made a vow, didn't she? If the Lord would grant her desire, a man-child, then she would give him all the days of her life to the Lord. It wasn't something selfish with Hannah. But all what she passed through, there were schools meant to ride over her head. All the years that Peninnah, her adversary, aggravated her. And yet, you see, she poured out her heart before the Lord. Even Eli mocked her. She was a woman of a sorrowful spirit, and had poured out her heart unto the Lord. But then we have this beautiful word, but for this child I prayed. For this child I prayed. Yes, and then we have a beautiful song, don't we, in the second chapter. Yeah. Oh, that beautiful song of Hannah. You see, she went through the depths. She went through the fire. She knew the persecution. She knew the adversary. There are schools meant to ride over her head. Yeah. Have you passed through that? Maybe at work. Maybe where you live. Maybe in your family. There are schools meant to ride over her head. Very painful. But my friends, it's profitable. So he says here then, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith. Oh, what a test of faith it is, isn't it? And the hymn says, he brings us to the test. He brings us to the test. That the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And so, in the reading this afternoon and in the other Gospels, we find the Lord appeared. The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to some. And friends, although I must close now, I will close with this remark. And I know it may be well tried afterwards, but I will close this remark. The Lord will appear. this truth to rejoice in, the Lord will appear. And may faith be strengthened. And may you be enabled to pray and commit it to him, because, friends, you know the Lord will appear. Because prayer is not in vain. Well, these are but a few scattered remarks, I know, but the Lord knows the need and what it means perhaps to you, some of you, this afternoon, and what it means to each one of us. But what a mercy if we're in the text. What a solemn thing if we're out of the text, friend. To have a religion that is of the earth, that is just fleshly, there's no trial of faith, no going through the fire, no passing through the water, but just a sort of an empty shell. Oh, how solemn. But these souls to whom Peter was writing, they were born again Christians. The work of grace had begun in their hearts. And they were to be found praising and honouring and giving God the glory. And it was a disappearing, the appearing of Jesus Christ. Well, I must confess these are but a few scattered remarks, but oh, may the Lord bless them. May we be found in the text. And may we know the truth as it is in Jesus. Amen.